Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour, brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, and Jesse Moffitt Entertainment. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Happy holidays, everybody. A reminder, this is our last show before Christmas and New Year. We'll return the first Thursday after the New Year. And, of course, we will continue to have more great guests like we do each week. In and out, we find them. New people you haven't heard from today, including singer, songwriter, album producer Elizabeth Ennals, and from the oldies band, the 1270s, Dakota Gamber and Adam Bruggeman. We already have things to celebrate, don't we?
Time to grab your favorite beverage, lift it high, and toast it to being Thursday, a.k.a. Weekend Eve.
Hey, the weekend isn't around the corner, it's here!
So long, hump day and your frumpy way. We say hello to Thursdays with opening nights. The weekend is near and we can see the bright lights. Yes, Thursday, you're so hearty, we can't wait for Friday, so a day early, we start the party.
All right, lift them high. Hot chocolate, eggnog, hot toddy, milk, orange juice, water, whatever you happen to have in your hand for a beverage at this time. It's going to be partly determined upon when you're listening. But we're going to toast to the joy and happiness of the season. You know, it is the happiest time of the year. The lyric I love the most is from the song The Christmas Waltz. It's that time of year when the world falls in love. So here's a toast to the love, joy, and happiness of the season. The Weekend Eve Toast has been brought to you by Ale Hop Brewery Tours. No matter what brewery in Sioux Falls is your favorite, Ale Hop Brewery Tours lets you and your friends choose any or all of the 8 local breweries, plus Glacial Lakes Distillery. Don't forget they now have Wine Wednesdays as well, so you can go to the breweries that serve wine in addition to the ale. Now, the best part, they take care of the driving in a very cool van. It sits up to 6 people, so you can have some friends along with you. If you've got just a small company that maybe only has you and a couple employees, do something fun with them. Do that as a little holiday gift to them, in addition, of course, to the bonuses that you're going to give them. Right? So book your private tours online at alehopbrewerytours.com. If you're already out and about on the weekend, hop on one of their public tours. For more info about those, call 605-777-2183. It's 605-777-2183. Ale Hop Brewery Tours, where micro fans meet micro brews.
Honorable mention.
Okay, so what tickled Dave's funny bone? Made him laugh, chuckle, guffaw, slap his knee silly, any of those things this week? It comes from the mouth of babes. Well, not babes, but a little boy in this case. Kanan is, my wife has 2 bosses where she works. One of them has a little boy named Kanan. And they occasionally give my wife a ride if I'm down at Arwine or if I'm over at any other place that we do some of the recordings. And so then he rides along and he keeps asking, well, what is it that he's doing? And then my wife tries explaining what a podcast is. And well, what's that? And then she says, well, it's kind of like radio, except you don't listen on the radio. So he tells his dad, says, Dad, one of these days, we have to go watch David do this pod radio. I love it. Kanan, you're a good little boy. We love you. And you are the winner of this week's honorable mention. Now, Dad, you got to make sure that you let him listen to this, okay? Alrighty. So, coming up later, we're going to hear how the oldies band the 1270s came to be with Dakota Gamber and Adam Brugman. But up next, she's produced her own album instead of writing a term paper. It's singer-songwriter Elizabeth Ennels, coming up on the Dave Holly Hour.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself, too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
Happy holidays from everyone at Dave Holly Hour.
Welcome back, everybody. Merry Christmas, by the way, as this is our final show before Christmas and New Year's. We will not be producing a show because, well, you know, normally I record on Mondays, and Monday the 20th, I have to go to an event known as the Flandreau Middle School Holiday Band Concert, because there's this 10-year-old blonde that has such a big part of my heart that, so I'm taking that off. And then I figured, you know, last year we did the show before Christmas and the show before New Year's. We took those off. We still do Thanksgiving show on Thursday, and so we did that this year, just like we did the past two. Now, moving on then. So Merry Christmas. So we're going to talk Christmas. We're also going to talk about Christian music, because we happen to have a Christian music singer. Are you also a writer then, Elizabeth Ennels?
Yes.
You are.
Yes,
so you
I
do
am.
Some of your own writing. That's mm-hmm. always wonderful. What we can say, singer-songwriter.
Yes.
You also, I understand, have been pretty busy mm-hmm. with this of late.
Mm-hmm.
Did I understand that do we have an album?
I do, but I promise there's more coming.
Oh.
Yes.
We'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I bet so. So was this the first album that you'd recorded?
Yeah. So when I was in college, one of the requirements for my degree was to do a project and to do like a paper. And I'm an artist. And so when they asked me to write a huge paper, I said, could I possibly produce an album instead?
Wow.
And so, yeah, they were really gracious and they said, yes, you can. And so that's where Eternity in Mind was born, in the basement of the music building at USF.
Okay.
And just on the old out-of-tune pianos, just down there every night, it felt like, clunking away, trying to get my piano proficiency memorized, and then also ended up writing songs because I would get bored of my practicing. So that's where that was born.
What kind of education was putting an album together by itself?
Yes.
Forget classrooms.
Wow. Okay. So there is so much that goes into forming a project like that. Like, of course, you need the lyrical content, melodic content, but then it's all the advertising and the organizing of the band to put it together and bringing people in, because, you know, every song has so much potential with just your creativity, but once you start pouring in other people's creativity, it just exponentially grows from there. And so I honestly was totally out of my league. I did not know anything of what I was doing. Some people took me under their wing. Mike Dresch, he had Cat House Studios.
Yes.
He took me under his wing, and wow, he just really blessed me, because he was like, we need to do this and we need to do that. And I didn't know the lingo. I didn't know any of it. Yeah. So it was really great.
Well, Mike's son is the gentleman that intros and outros this show.
No way.
Yeah, Zach.
Yes. Yes.
Zach and I are very good friends.
Well,
and,
good. That's awesome.
Yeah. And talk about musical talent and, mm-hmm. and everything else in that family. That's great. So what got you started singing?
Wow.
Oh, by the way, before we get to that.
Yes.
Did you get an A on the project?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I did get an A. They gave me a D on a different project.
Uh-oh.
But it's okay. I graduated. I'm out of there. And I got the paper, the really expensive paper. Diplomas, they call them. So what? I don't even know. I started having dreams about leading worship when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always just been a singer. I remember watching VeggieTales. And there's an episode about Esther. And she has a song. She's singing on this castle wall, and it was so like dramatic, and like I was like, oh my gosh, I want to sing like her, where she's making this like really really big decision, and she's using a song to like get her heart in the right spot. And so that really marked me as a child. And so my first performance ever was as a four-year-old in front of my mom's Bible study, and I sang Esther's song.
Really?
Oh yeah, all the words, of course.
Did memorizing come easy for you then?
Yes. So if it's in a song, I'm going to be able to remember it, except the national anthem. The national anthem is like so stressful.
Yes, it is.
It is the most stressful song to sing. And I just look at people's faces to see if they're like, you know, like giving me looks, because I get in the middle of it and I'm like, I don't even know where I'm at anymore. I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep trucking along until I know.
Yes, so. The national anthem can be a stubborn one to sing.
Mm-hmm.
I've had personal experience of that one too.
Yes, yes.
And so you've been singing a long time. Now, you mentioned when you were in the midst of the project that you'd go to the piano room and mm-hmm. clunk it out and so forth. You mm-hmm. said clunk. So do you play piano?
I would say that I play enough piano to sing.
Okay.
I play enough guitar just to sing. Like, I'm not necessarily like a connoisseur of like mm-hmm. piano or anything like that. When I was in high school, though, I was pretty intense about my violin, but.
Really?
Other than that, those are my only instruments.
So. Do we hear your violin in your album at all?
There is no violin. Oh. That is currently collecting a little dust.
Okay.
Please don't tell my violin teacher. I'm so sorry, Sue. But I was recently just thinking about it, like organized music and just being a part of a bigger group is such a privilege, such a blessing. And so I don't know what the future will hold with that.
Now, since you were producing the album mm-hmm. as a project then, and yeah, Mike Dresch that helped you out,
mm-hmm.
And obviously a whole bunch of other people that ended up being it.
Yes.
So did you actually get to sit there with Mike then and say, no, I want this out, mm-hmm. I want this in, and so forth?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How did that feel?
Wow. So there are moments where I would just, like, tear up, because there's something so special about having a conversation with God in your journal and sitting down at the piano and trying to figure out how to articulate it with a melody, and then all of a sudden you're in a studio and there's people in another room and they're like adding their own flair mm-hmm. to that song. Man, that's so special. And then to have other people excited about your music, that's another world of just like, whoa, this is affecting so many more people than just me and my uh-huh. piano and the Lord, you know?
Yeah.
So Mike was super great. He was really patient, and it is a very difficult thing to listen to your voice like second by second and have him like fix little pitches here and there. Cause I really like to be in tune. But I was grateful that he allowed me to be part of that process, because now in future excursions and things that I'll do, like I have more comfortability in the studio where I'm just like, yeah, like I need this, and can we try this stuff? And it's just, everything can be cleaned up in the studio, so you got to just try.
True, yeah.
You just got to try, because you never know what's going to come out of that. So,
were you surprised by the amount of time it took?
Actually, I was surprised at how fast and how easy it actually was. I think something happens in people's minds when they have a dream where that dream becomes something that feels impossible. And then the second you start, man, it's like, it's like opening a door rather than climbing a mountain. And so I felt like it was going to take way more effort and way more money and just way more like blood, sweat, and tears. And the reality was, is like, there's people all over just doing this. And so if they can do it, so can I, you know?
So did you ever look back and say, yeah, those other people that wrote those papers, they didn't spend this amount of money.
That is so true. You know what? I had a lot of people come and support me, and I sold t-shirts, man. It was, now that I think about that, that was a lot. Those people just wrote on a computer. What was I thinking?
But you got the yay, you got the diploma.
I did.
You're in good shape.
I did.
And you've moved on to seminary then.
Yes. Yeah.
How's that going?
Well, it's finals week. And every time I think about that, my palms get a little damp. But it's okay. Everything's fine. The trick is, you just have to write. And you can't care about it until you're revising it. You have to write and write and write and then revise. Or you'll never finish.
Yeah. So. And what type of classes have you, is there a particular study that you've taken on and so forth?
Okay, so something I'm really interested in is spiritual formation. A lot of people are Christians their whole lives, but they have very limited formation on the inside as people. And so biblical truth becomes something that they kind of wear as like a, this is a, something I do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone is being formed by the Spirit, then those biblical truths become ways of life or ways of relating to people that become second nature. It's a paradigm shift between these are rules I follow prescriptively versus like, this is the type of person I want to be. So that's kind of where my mind is at. And then it does involve a lot of like theological, you know, thought, but it also is a lot of psychology stuff too, where it's like, let me recognize where these things are coming from or where this mentality comes from so that the Lord can actually do something about it instead of.
And was that something you had to go through yourself?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Wow. Good question.
I get one per interview.
You get more than that. So spiritual formation, I think, is something I would say boldly, if you're not doing it, then you might be dead. But like the process, I don't think the process ever ends. I think there's just levels, you know, where they say that life is like an onion where you just keep pulling layers back. And I think it becomes more fruitful if you walk through it yourself, you know, first.
All right. So you hinted earlier there's going to be more. Does that mean you've already been writing more?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
You know, give people an idea about your album that you do have right now.
Okay.
And where we can get it, of course.
Oh, man. Okay. just so you guys know, it's a college project.
Oh.
So Eternity in Mind, man, the season of my life that I was in, it felt like God was forcing me to do all these things. I was like, why can't I just like do what I think I should do in my own mind? And I was like, why does he keep saying this and that? And I have to do all these things. And I was talking with a friend and he said, you know, God has eternity in mind when he makes decisions for your life. And it just rocked my world. I was like, it was like revelation just exploded, because I think about the next 5 years, I think about the next 10 years, but God thinks about the beginning and the end. And so when he's making decisions for me, it's more than just what makes her comfortable for the next hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something bigger going on. And so there's a lyric in there, in Abraham, there's more to life than what I see with my eyes. Like, there's more than just right here in front of me. I have to start thinking about farther out and farther back, but only God can do that perfectly. So
how do you feel that Christian music helps people become Christians or improve their Christian, or I don't want to say improve, but
how do they interact with it?
Yeah,
and grow with
you know
it?
How they grow with it and they go on their journey then.
Yeah, you know, this is so fun that you're asking this question, because one of my dear friends, she sent me a screenshot on Instagram and she was like, my Spotify rap told me that your song Eternity in Mind was my number one played song last year. And my heart was just like, this little project that I was doing in the basement of Jesky like helped her in a process where she was overcoming all kinds of things in her own life. I don't know what she was talking about with the Lord, but I think Christian music is imperative to the Christian life. And I want more representation. I want to see more like different styles of music being lifted up to the Lord. Like, he loves it all, you know? So I would say if you're a Christian, make sure that you're listening to some Christian music.
So I got to go find a Christian jazz album.
I have suggestions for you.
Oh, I will take them.
Yes.
All right.
And they're not bad. Like, they don't suck at all.
Now, that's quotable.
I know.
Elizabeth Ennels. They're not bad. They don't suck at all.
Dang it.
That's
true.
That's awesome.
It's
I love it. You know, there's a couple of questions that I usually ask it toward the end. But I'm going to ask them now, and then we're going to transition into Christmas stuff.
Okay.
Okay. So the first is, when you're not, you know, doing this and being an entertainer or, you know, being an artist, creative and so forth, what do you like to be entertained by?
Wow. That is such a good question.
Let's do this time.
I know. Gold star. Okay. What do I like to be entertained by? I love heroic things like valor and honor.
Right.
And so I'm not the girl that's going to be like, can we watch Pride and Prejudice? I'm the girl that's, I mean, that one actually has a lot of honor and valor in it, but I'm the girl who's like, let's watch Braveheart or like a King movie or like something where they have to fight to get the thing. And then they're like, we're victorious. And then something happens, you know, and like, they have to like, maybe I should say, I love character transformation in the midst of a storyline. And so if that's a movie, if it's a book, I gravitate towards this person having to choose honor or whatever is easy. And then they like win. You know? I love those types of things.
Victory.
So, yes. My favorite movies are Lord of the Rings.
Oh my.
It's true. Aragorn ruined me.
Yeah.
As a child. So
thank you, Tolkien.
I know, right? Such a great guy.
Any other hobbies?
My hobbies include staring at my plants at my house and wondering if I'm watering them enough. I love to hang out with my friends and drink coffee. That's really expensive because I like oat milk.
Oh, yeah.
It's really bad for my bank account. Otherwise, I mean, I lead worship. That's not my hobby. It's kind of my life.
Right.
But
it's your avocation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably it.
All right. So here we are. Last show before Dave here takes a Christmas and New Year's break. What are some of your favorite Christmas traditions?
Oh, I should have known this question was coming. Okay. It's funny because we asked that question at our staff meeting today. And so I should be prepared. Is what I'm saying. One of my favorite things about Christmas is that I get to rest. I don't know if that's a tradition, but it's number one on the list. But I love spending time with both sides of my family, my mom and my dad. They're separated, but we have really solid family time. And man, life is so crazy that it's like, sometimes we don't get to see each other as much as we should. But my mom always gets us a pair of pajamas. Like, everyone gets pajamas and we wear them and then we just hang out and talk and eat. And that's really, really sweet. And she doesn't really do gifts very much. She kind of just like hides money around the house and then writes really badly written clues.
Okay.
And then they don't make any sense. So then she's like, well, just ask God where it is. And so it's, we just have to find it. So that's always fun. And then my dad, we just have a good time. We just hang out and eat food and you just sit around in your pajamas all day. Like, I will wear the pajamas my mom got me overnight and then drive to my dad's house in those pajamas. So I don't change. from Christmas Eve to Christmas Day.
You know, that's the best way to go, isn't it?
Truly,
if
is.
You can sit there and drive in pajamas,
yes,
life is good.
Send it. Just yeah. go, yeah, just do it, for sure.
All right, favorite Christmas songs. I will let you go plural
okay, thank
on that.
You. I was like, oh no,
yeah, I can't narrow it down to one.
Okay,
so
for sure, I have. Okay, I'm going to do it like this. My favorite song to sing at Christmas?
Yes.
Oh, Holy Night.
Okay.
For obvious reasons. Just theologically, the content, and then just like vocally getting to just flex. It's great.
Yeah, it's an expander.
Okay? Yes. And then I would say O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And there's a song that I sang that was in Latin that was one of my favorites. Can't remember the name. It does exist, I promise. But I would say O Come Emmanuel is one of my favorite songs around Christmas time. The whole thing is really just my fave.
Right.
Yeah. I love it all. Because what about, you just get to sing about Jesus
yeah.
all the time.
Any secular songs, Christmas songs that you enjoy?
There are some. I know this. I'm drawing a blank, but I think like if it's well written, I'm gonna enjoy
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, there's a certain you know just a feel good mm-hmm. about the holiday
yes.
and so forth. Yeah,
it's so good, yeah. so good.
I'm guessing that you're not one that needs big gifts, you know, based off of your personality. But
that
anything,
is a compliment.
You know,
Thank
you're looking at Santa. So,
ooh.
Anything you want for Christmas?
Wow. Santa, if I could have anything for Christmas. Plane tickets. No. I would say just like I want music equipment.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like a keyboard and like all those things that plug into the computer. I don't even know what they're called. Interfaces and all those types of things. Because I lead from keys or guitar, it really just depends. But I have mm-hmm. a good guitar. I just haven't upgraded my piano yet. So if I was going to ask Santa for something, I would ask
okay.
for that.
All right. Well, now Santa knows.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
All right. And anything that you hope for everybody else for Christmas?
Yes. If I could have one thing for everyone... I know that I should say like food or somewhere to stay, but I really want everyone to have peace.
Yeah.
You know?
Excellent.
Because that's just like, it's so valuable and you can have it anywhere in any context. Yeah. So yeah, I would say peace.
Can you do me a favor?
Mm-hmm.
Just sing a little bit of O Holy Night to take us out.
Oh
a commercial
my goodness.
Break.
Just right here.
Right here.
Okay. That's not weird.
Oh no.
Okay. I will give you as many words as I can remember.
Okay.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. That's
Merry
all you get.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Elizabeth Ennals, thank you so much.
Yes.
Appreciate your time and appreciate mm-hmm. what you do.
Yeah.
And look forward to seeing you more. And it's been great getting to know you a little bit today. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right. And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Hi, my name is Jesse Moffitt, and I'm not a piano player. I'm a comic magician and hypnotist.
I've been performing for over 20 years. I've performed at many events, corporate events, holiday parties, post-prom parties, graduation parties, state and county fairs, festivals, just about anything you can imagine. The funniest thing about the Magic Act is that I use a ton of audience participation, and that can make things really interesting.
Put it down the front of your shirt. Stop being so, I'm not, my hand won't follow it.
The best thing about the hypnosis show is that the volunteers and their imaginations really make it a blast.
Holy crap, dude, did you see what you just did? You could do that possibly to girls.
For booking information, go to Jesse Moffitt Entertainment on Facebook. That's JESSEMOFFITT. Or call 605-929-0964.
Happy holidays from everyone at Dave Holly Hour.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh my goodness. You know that I start off much this way for almost every conversation to tell you how great it is to not only have great talent on the show, but to introduce new talent to you. Hopefully you've had a chance to see these people. I recently saw them at the Christmas tree lighting at the Washington Pavilion, the band, the 1270s. And two-thirds of them are here today. So we have Dakota Gamber and we have Adam Bruggeman that are joining us. Dakota, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having us, Dave.
Oh, my pleasure. I had seen a little bit and read about it a while back when you guys kind of first started because I was very interested and I immediately had the connection of the 1270s, 1270 AM.
Yep.
And that's why you chose that name, correct?
Yep, that's right. Because
of the oldies, that's what you guys are playing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just didn't have a chance to see you guys. And so we were there at the tree lighting, and it's like, man, this is fun. Got to get them on. So came up and introduced myself to everybody. And, well, except you, Adam. Were you inside warming up?
I have no idea what I was doing.
Okay.
I feel like after shows, I just mosey around. Yeah. I might go change or, yeah, who knows?
Well, this was beforehand, you know,
before
you guys actually started.
He was doing his local warm-ups.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea. Beats me. I was probably hanging out.
You were probably warming your fingers up. It was pretty cold.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, it was. It was a little chilly that night.
They gave us a heater, though, so it was
nice. That was nice, wasn't it?
It was nice.
Yeah. It was like right behind me.
And you still looked good. See, that's what I love about this group is the retro part. I mean, you get to hear oldies, and then you guys dress up, you know, kind of early Beatle-ish, and so forth. You've got nice haircuts. So you're the clean-cut image of that and so forth. And then you start to play, and it's like, okay, we're having a good time now, aren't we?
Yeah.
How did the three of you get together?
So I guess it all started back around, I think it was 2015. We had all gotten together. I had met Adam at a party. Well, I grew up with Adam, but I had seen him at a party, and Dan and I had already been talking about putting a band together. And I kind of approached Adam and asked him if he'd be interested in doing something. And we all got together and we played for a little while and kind of fizzled out. And then I ended up moving back to Mitchell. I'd moved away. And then we all got back together about 2019. I think it was like October of 2019. Yeah. And then we kind of knew we wanted to play some older kind of retro music and kind of have like a 50s, 60s vibe to go along with it. And Adam still happens to play guitar in that area very well. So we just all picked it up and everybody knew the songs. And I think we probably practiced for 4 months before we played a show.
Yeah,
I think we started
right around there. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was around 4 months. And then like our first show, COVID hit.
Yeah.
And I think it was like March of 2020, our first show. And then we kind of just took what we could get, and we've been kind of surprised at how busy it's picked up recently.
Right.
It's been really busy and good to us. So especially last summer, I don't think we had a weekend off,
which was
a change of pace for all of us because we all have full time jobs. But it was a good time. We had a lot of fun, and I think we have a busy summer coming up here too,
and
winter and spring.
Well, you know, the podcast is taking a couple weeks off for Christmas break. Obviously, you guys are too. You get back to playing You're going to ring in the new year twice, aren't you?
Yeah, it's going to be something else. We're going to have to be dashing.
Yeah.
Dashing through the snow.
Because you're playing here at Sioux Falls?
We're going to be playing
three or 3:30?
We're playing in Larchwood.
In Larchwood?
At the Grand Falls Casino.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. We play there quite often, but so hopefully we can have a routine down to get out of there as quick as possible. So I think we play 2 to 6 there. Is it 2 to 6 or so, and then we have to dart out of there and be in Mitchell and start playing at 8 at the Moose Lodge. 8 to midnight. So,
well, you know, at least you don't have an 8-piece band.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. We're going to have to do sound checks and stuff before we even get to the Moose, like a couple days before. Yeah. So.
So you're going to have a quick load out and a quick load in.
Yeah. It's going to put us to the test.
You're going to time it, and so you can always say for posterity, well, you know, we did that last year in 32 minutes and 10 seconds on the load out.
We're going to have to practice, I think.
Well, that's one thing you have to do all the time anyway, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm curious, though, with the going to the retros and playing the 50s and 60s oldies, you know, what we used to call oldies back when I was your age, and now it's still oldies, but oldies was expanded to basically bring in, 70s, 80s, even a little 90s into it. So you guys are young. What inspired you for the oldies?
I've always just really loved old music. I had a grandfather that introduced me to, first off, Johnny Cash and kind of the old 50s, 60s country.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get a guitar until I was like 14, 15. And then as soon as I got a guitar, that's kind of the first songs that I played because I knew those songs because they were easy and easy to sing along to. And that's kind of how I got into it. What about you, Adam?
Yeah, so I guess I grew up all around it. My grandparents listened to, I guess a lot of classic country on that side. And then my dad has a huge music collection that I would just, so I guess kind of like Dakota, I started off, my first big musical hero was probably like Johnny Cash. And then kind of around that same time, Warren Zevon, I guess I kind of got into him too. Kind of a weird like mix there, but.
That would have made a great mashup, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Right. So that was kind of where I operated out of. Growing up, it was a lot of like rap and like Linkin Park and stuff. So not really. So you're just kind of like, how do you get there from here? And Johnny Cash came around, and then like I say, Warren Zevon, stuff like that. And then I got into more classic country. Like I say, my dad's big music collection. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, have you heard of like, say like Waylon Jennings or Merle Haggard or something like that? So I'm just expanding my music kind of stuff like that. And then when I got into high school, I was like exploring all this classic country stuff, like George Jones and like Farron Young, and I grew up around like Roger Miller.
And love Roger Miller.
There's a bunch of stuff like that. But when I was a senior in high school, I'd like burn myself out on classic country because that was all I was listening to all the time. And then when I like the summer leading into senior year of high school, I started exploring more of like the Beatles catalog, and then mm-hmm. getting into more of like the 60s rock pop stuff. And I just like went crazy, like listening to a whole bunch of stuff. And my first probably favorite band of that time that I hadn't heard before was Cream. And so I was just like, the Disraeli Gears album was awesome. And so then I started kind of getting a little more serious about guitar after I graduated high school. I love music so like a lot, especially that era. And then so it's kind of like, okay, well, if you're learning Cream, like who did Eric Clapton like as guitarist, and who did the Beatles like as guitarist? And then so I'm like, oh, check out this guy Chuck Berry, because I like the Rolling Stones, when they cover Chuck Berry stuff, I'm just like, it's amazing. It's awesome.
Very true. Yeah, I agree.
And so I'm like, well, I want to play like that. So I would play like the Rolling Stones covers of Chuck Berry tunes and stuff like that. And then I'm like, well, what if I just go listen to Chuck Berry music? And it's just, that's kind of the general way, I guess. So I guess just since I was a kid, I was all around it and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just,
So do you rip a mean time. Johnny B. Good?
Oh yeah, he does.
Dakota says I do. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
I'll let him say it.
He's
I guess.
Being humble. He does. He does a good job with it. That's one of the first songs. That's one of our. That's like, I think that's probably like our song that we like, if we need to pump up before a show and we're like, let's play something to get everybody going that's sitting around watching us do sound check. Yeah. We'll play John and be good. And it always gets everybody going, gets us going. And
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that is a good show opener.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we've kind of answered all those questions then, but what got you interested to get up there in front of people? Have you always been a showman, Dakota?
No. No, I was terrified. When we first started this, I didn't know what being a front man would be like. And I think still sometimes I struggle with it. I think since I was younger, I was always kind of a shyer person. But it's nice to kind of challenge yourself and get up there on stage. And it's hard for me to talk about things on stage and stuff like that. It's easy to play songs and kind of jam out and have fun. But in between songs, you kind of have to have fillers. And Adam's kind of shy, too. So we try to bounce back and forth and have fun with it. But no, I wouldn't say I've always been a showman. It's new for me.
Okay. Well, you seem to have adapted quite well to it.
Yeah, I'm trying.
He has a really good talent for if there's something that's happening during the show, like something out in the crowd or something, mm-hmm. he'll like see something going on and then he'll incorporate it into the songs, like just on the fly.
Love that.
No one ever notices, but these guys.
It's so funny. When you hear it, you're just like, oh man, like it's just great.
Yeah, I'll work some lyrics in there if we have. It's usually because of an intoxicated fan or something like that. But we only notice it, so it's it kind of picks us up, and we just roll with it, and it's fun. And then after the show, I'm like, did you guys hear that? And they're like, yeah, that was hilarious. I'm like, I didn't know anyone even heard that.
What's been the most fun gig you've played so far?
Oh, the Christmas one was a lot of fun. That was definitely the biggest crowd we've ever played for, I would say. I heard some people say there was around 1,000 people there.
But nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it was nerve-wracking, but and it was cold too, but I don't know, fun. We have a lot of fun playing casinos.
Yeah.
What's your favorite show?
Well, I think a couple of them, like kind of the unique shows are cool. So like that reunion for USF that we played at Orpheum, mm-hmm. that was cool. The
all-class bash.
Right. Yep, yeah. Yep. And then when we were out at the pavilion inside, that was cool for the Cornerstone.
We played a private event for a Cornerstone Financial, and we got to play on the grand hall stage at the pavilion.
So we weren't playing to the crowd, but we were like still on the stage turned around. But I'm like, when you were doing sound check, I'm like looking out in the seats and I'm like, man, maybe someday.
Yeah,
we were on the stage.
Maybe someday
on the stage playing to the stage, and everyone is eating. It was cool. Yeah. It was no
that
pressure.
Was really cool. I think one of my favorite places to play is Carthage. Especially that summer show when we were outside on that stage.
Oh, yep.
That was cool.
Play at the,
I like playing out there.
Oh, what is it called? The Cabaret. Yep. The Cabaret in Carthage. Mm-hmm. Into the Wild was filmed there.
That's a cool one.
So it's cool. They have pictures on the wall of that movie.
Mm-hmm. What about concerts you've gone to?
What? Do you want to go? Because I'll ramble on forever.
No, you go first because I know you'd probably
we'll ramble.
Ramble.
So this is huge for me because growing up and even now, I still feel like... growing up, it'd be like you'd be at like a family get together for like a holiday or something, mm-hmm. and then it'll be like, and this is like middle school or high school, they'll be like, "What do you want to do after school?" And I'm like, "I don't know," and just that's how it was for the whole time. But shortly after I graduated high school, me and my dad went to see The Who up in Minneapolis.
Wow!
And that was so they were touring doing what was it? I wonder if that was when they were touring doing their album Quadrophenia live. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it was. But anyway, that was the first time just the energy in that stadium I was just like, whatever I'm doing in life, even if it can't be like my profession, I'm like, this has to be part of it because that was the first thing. I'm like, if I can make other people feel the way they made me feel through music, I'm like, mm-hmm. that's awesome. So I want to try it. I mean, that was the first time I was like, had a clear kind of direction.
Yeah. And how old is your dad, by the way?
Now he's like 61, I think. 61
okay,
or two.
Yeah, so yeah. Of my ilk then. So that's why you got to go to The Who, because he wanted to take his son to The Who.
It's a shared interest for sure. Yep, yep, yep. He's a runner, and he's commented in the past that if he needs a really energetic type uh-huh. music, throw on Quadrophenia or something, because The Who's just explosive in their energy and sound.
Like, I can still remember the first time I ever heard The Who with Who Are You.
Yeah.
I was a sophomore in high school. So that takes us back to 1978, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And it was played on the thing called a jukebox.
Yeah.
You know, a 45 record that dropped in a little drive-in in Rock Rapids, Iowa, my hometown. And man, it's just like, whoa, that one blew me away. You know, I'd heard some Who tunes prior, mm-hmm. but when that thing came on.
I think the first time I heard Who Are You was the...
CSI?
This theme song for CSI.
Yeah, sure.
Then he takes off his sunglasses and says something real catchy.
And that crazy scream coming out. Yeah, yeah. But So that was, I mean, The Who, and I've seen them maybe a couple times since then. And then I've just seen a lot, so many cool acts. But another cool one was the Rolling Stones. I went to see them a couple years ago in Denver. Never thought I would be able to say I saw the Stones live in concert, but that was awesome.
Yeah.
How they still sound so awesome.
Amazing, isn't it?
Crazy. Being that old, I'm like, man.
Yeah, because Keith Richards is actually Betty White's father. That's how old he is. Yeah. She just turned 100.
Yeah. What was it? I think I'd read some like jokey comment on YouTube or something like, if there was a, what is it, like at the end of time, it's going to be like cockroaches and Keith Richards duking it out for survival or something like that. But I've seen so many cool shows. Paul McCartney, when he was at the Premier Center.
Okay.
Saw him. Just a whole bunch of stuff. But I could just go on and on. Like Merle Haggard, me and my dad saw him in high school at the Pavilion. Yeah. Yep. George Jones, we saw him at the Corn Palace, and when we saw him, his voice was like super raspy, but it was a good show anyway. But a lot of stuff. I could, like I say, just go on and on. But Imagine Dragons, they did an awesome show at Premier Center a couple of years ago, and I could go on, but I'll pass it over.
All right, yeah. So Dakota,
I would say the first band I can remember being kind of obsessed with. I used to watch this show on, I think it was VH1. They had I Love the 70s. You remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
I Love the 80s. And I really loved the retro-ness of those shows. Yeah. And they had brought up Steve Miller Band. And I remember back then...
Hitting my heart.
I'm aging myself. I mean, they had the internet, but we had dial-up and stuff.
Yeah.
But we were still ordering CDs out of those little magazine flip-flop things. And my dad was like, that's a really good band. And I was like... All right, I really love right here because they had the Joker on there, and they were like,
great,
what
term.
Is the pompousness of love? And I was like, I don't know, but I gotta find out. So I ordered, I think it was Greatest Hits or Dreams album, whatever it was. And I ordered it, and I played that CD nonstop. And I think I even did a book report on Steve Miller Band about their history and everything. But my first concert ended up being Styx. So I saw Styx when I was like...
Styx was my favorite band in high school, in college.
Yeah. I loved them. I saw them, I think it was probably like 2004 at the Corn Palace, and they were awesome. I can't remember, Tommy something.
Yeah, I didn't...
Was that lead singer Tommy something?
Tommy Shaw. Yeah, I didn't see them until 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago. They were out at the fair, and that's where I finally saw them. But I tell you what, they started that music, I started to cry. It took
amazing.
Me back to being 16, you know?
Yeah, they were amazing. There's so many good voices in that band.
Yeah.
There's like three or four guys that can sing really well. The guy who plays the piano, I can't remember what his name is, but he sings Come Sail Away. And I remember he had his piano on like a spinning platform.
Yes. Yep.
And he kept on spinning. I was like, wow. Yeah. If I can ever play piano, I'm going to do that with it. And I'm probably going to stand on it. But that concert stands out to me as one of like the first big concerts I ever saw. And then I ended up seeing Steve Miller Band in high school at the fair.
Okay.
And they blew my socks off too.
Yeah.
I really loved watching them.
Love him.
He was older, but I was surprised at how good his voice still sounded.
Yeah. And he's still out there, and there's so many that are. I tell you what, you know, we'll kind of go back to a few other things, back to the oldies part. The first album, the actual LP, I had some 45s, and this was prior to 8-track, and then cassette made a little bit, and then we all went to vinyl for the longest time before CDs came out. But the first LP that I purchased was The Greatest Hits of the Grassroots.
The Grassroots, yeah.
Do you guys do any Grassroots tunes?
No.
You better at them.
It sounds... What are some of their popular songs? Because that sounds familiar. They sound familiar.
I Walk
for
a Million
sure.
Miles. And then the Sooner or Later, Love is Gonna Get You. Sooner or Later, Love is Gonna Get You.
I know that song. Yeah. Huh? No, that's a great song.
Yeah. And then it has nice little... Yeah. I played the you know what out of that.
Oh yeah.
They just don't really make, I mean, they make music like old songs. There's kind of like retro bands and stuff that are out there making originals, but there's nothing that's kind of the same as
True.
Some of the music that was made back
yeah.
then. It was just revolutionary. Well, no one had done it, and they were doing things with their instruments that no one had touched yet. So,
and then you think of, you know, what they brought with the Beach Boys, and all the different recording type of techniques, and, and using strange instruments and so forth. And so there's been a lot that's been innovative, but now the innovation is so much just electronic.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you can do in a studio and how you can make something and post it online within 2 hours. Yeah. But I love good music. That's always been my answer. I loved hearing you guys, even out in the cold, because it's like, this is good. This is what, you know, goes back to the roots of rock and roll. And sadly, I don't think we really have much rock and roll anymore. We have this huge conglomeration of pop, hip hop, rap, and so forth. But and then metal, you know, so it kind of goes the opposite. But you really don't have, you know, like a Steve Miller Band. You don't even really have an Elvis.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, like Harry Styles, I thought he was going to be the next Elvis for a bit, but then.
Yeah. Fizzled.
He's out there.
All right. I always end with a couple of questions, standard for this. And then since it's Christmas, we'll even have a couple more after that.
Ooh.
All right. So, Dakota.
All right.
When you are not entertaining other people, what do you like to be entertained by?
Probably movies.
Okay.
Movies. I watch a lot of movies. I've seen like everything on Netflix. People always joke with me at work that I've seen everything on the streaming apps, or I've seen a little bit of it. But either that, I'm either playing guitar at home, listening to music. I have a dog that keeps me really busy. He comes to practice too. We practice in my basement.
Okay.
I would say those things.
All right.
I do a lot of woodworking.
Okay. Too. See, you took away my next question. I always say, any other hobbies? So woodworking, like, are we talking small items? Are we talking, you know, you make dressers, furniture?
I'm trying to dive into some older, kind of like mid-century kind of furniture. I made like a record cabinet the other day. That was pretty cool. I go to this place in town called the Habitat for Humanity Restore.
Oh, yeah.
And they have like a massive amount of, like, I would say surplus wood from cabinetry companies.
Yeah.
And they just throw it out there and they price it cheap. And so I had a bunch of cherry and walnut. So I made a little record stand from a record player. And I have like an old CRT TV, like a tube TV that I watch VHSs on.
Classic.
I don't know if I've showed you that yet. But I had a Jeremiah Johnson going today, if you've ever seen that. But I've been making some cutting boards for Christmas for presents and stuff like that. But yeah.
Well, you just gave away what you're giving your family for Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, I won't tell them this is out there until after Christmas, I suppose. You got me.
All right, Adam. When you're not entertaining others, what do you like to be entertained by?
So music, definitely. Exploring music is something that's cool. I like to call it exploring music because it's like just going off like little leads or trails, kind of like I was explaining with like the Rolling Stones, and then kind of leading to Chuck Berry, and then all of a sudden you never know what you're listening to. The Stones, like say Chuck Berry or Muddy Waters, and just any number of, and then you go down that rabbit hole, and then you're like, there's a whole branch over there. And so I don't know, exploring music's always been fun, just listening to whatever. I like to think I'll listen to most things at least once.
I think the movie was Crossroads, and late 80s, maybe early 90s, and a young kid learning how to play the blues and so forth. And there's an older gentleman sitting on and he says, Muddy Waters invented electricity, boy. I always have remembered that line. And I love it.
That's great. I've heard of that movie. I'll have to watch it sometime.
Yes, you will now.
But yeah, so I'd say music. I can waste away a lot of time on YouTube, and then just video games and stuff like that. So those are the things that immediately come to mind, I guess.
All right. So the hobbies are video games and so forth?
Yeah, around there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Music and that ties in together because I'll usually be listening to something while I'm doing that. So.
All right. So now we move on to the Christmas stuff.
All right.
Okay. And I'll just stay with you for a moment here, Adam. What is your favorite Christmas memory?
Ooh. Well, I'll definitely say... it's got to be the family get-togethers on like Christmas Day and stuff like that. Those are always really fun.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I think back to like when I was a kid. I forgot what prompted this, but I was in. Oh, so I was in a. We were in. A, I guess so. Smoking indoors in the past. I mean, I don't know how long it's been since then, it's a lot.
We were talking about this the other
Day. And so it's a lot. You don't really walk into somewhere and it's like just like kind of hazy and stuff like that. So, but recently I was in a place like that, and then I was like, it kind of reminded me of when I was a kid at those Christmas get-togethers, when wherever like people would be talking and gift exchanges and stuff like that. It would just be like a haze in the air. And so it's kind of nostalgic, the smell and just the sight and stuff.
Oh, true,
like that.
Yeah.
But, so that's got to be it, yeah.
Okay, what about favorite Christmas songs? I'll give you the plural so that if there's more than one, go ahead and spew them.
I will. Run, Run, Rudolph's definitely got to be one. Brian Setzer's got a cool one, Dig That Crazy Santa Claus.
And his orchestra.
Yeah, and... besides that, Little Saint Nick is cool by the Beach Boys. So these are all kind of like, I guess, pop and rock type stuff. Oh, there's one that was just right on my mind. Oh, Pipes of Peace, Paul McCartney. I don't know if you'd really, I mean, the music video, at least to it, kind of, I think, is, was it World War One that there was a Christmas cruise or something like that? I think that's what that is anyway, in the music video. I mean, but anyway, people might not like it, but Wonderful Christmas Time, Paul McCartney.
Oh,
people might be like, oh, that's so overplayed, but I'm just like,
I know what you're going to say, the hippopotamus
like
song.
Oh, no, that's one of those songs where it's like you might hear it a lot, but I also think it's one of those songs where it's like some songs you might hear everywhere, like in retail stores and stuff, like, I don't know, like Hotel California or something. You're just like, oh man, that song again. But it's like, I feel like it's different if you hear it when you're out and about, and it's different if you put on headphones and you're like actively listening to it, because then you're like, wow, you can really hear the details and stuff like that. But yeah, that'll do it for like rock and pop stuff. Yeah, I could go on.
But, all right, Dakota, favorite Christmas memory?
I would probably say, being younger, we had a lot of grandkids in my family, and we all kind of gathered around for Christmas, and everyone's kind of gone their separate ways now, but we have a kind of a younger group of grandkids that you get to kind of relive it all through.
Yeah.
So I would say, yeah, gathering with family, going sledding and stuff like that, recent like ski trips with friends and stuff like that. And then of course this last Christmas show, that was a fun time.
Yeah. So then the music.
Favorite Christmas songs. Right now I would probably say I've always really liked that classic Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas by Judy Garland. Yeah. There's a song out there by one of my favorite bands right now. They're called Susto. They're kind of like an alt country band, and they have this song called I can't remember what it's called, but it's basically about Santa. It's really sad. It sounds kind of bad now, but it's Santa like passes away, and they talk about his life in this song, but it's kind of in a comical way. And I sing it to my girlfriend all the time, and she thinks it's hilarious. But but yeah, I would probably sing those songs, and then probably Run, Run, Rudolph too.
Yeah.
We jammed out to that one, learning it and everything, and it's a fun song to play.
I agree with you on Judy Garland, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. The line in there about next year maybe all our troubles will be out of sight gets me every time I hear that song. Yeah.
We played it at the Pavilion, and that song was actually kind of hard to learn. We kind of had to make our own pace with it, and because it was so slow and it wasn't really our style, so we had to kind of like figure out how to walk around it, and we figured it out, so hopefully everybody enjoyed it.
All right, well, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate you guys, and as well, let's just highlight again the December 31st, the New Year's Eve shots that you're going to be out at you're going to be over at the Big Falls, Grand Falls.
That's right.
That's in the afternoon.
Yep. I believe it's 2 to 6. 2 to 6 or 2 to 5. I'll have to double check, but it starts at 2 for sure.
And then the evening show?
The evening show is at the Moose Lodge in Mitchell, and that's from 8 to midnight.
You'll ring in the new year.
We'll ring in the new year with everybody in Mitchell and the surrounding areas. Anybody can come, but you got to get tickets because it's going quick.
Hey, there we go. We like sellouts.
So they say.
All right. Well, both of you, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being on the Dave Holly Hour. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to both of you.
Merry Christmas.
All right. And we'll be back to wrap up the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation, 605-332-9235 or exochiros.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XO Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thanks again to my guests, Elizabeth Ennels, Dakota Gamber, and Adam Bruggeman. Thanks to Remedy Brewing for hosting the conversation with Elizabeth, and then to Our Wine Bar for hosting our chat with the 1270s. Most of all, thank you. The show continues. It's a success due to each one of you. Hope you enjoyed this last show of 2021, as this old man's going to take some time to enjoy the holidays. By the way, doesn't mean I won't be doing anything. is the Ruggedly Handsome Trivia host will be at the Sky Lounge and Tea for Holly Jolly Christmas Trivia this Friday night at 7. Then the Holly Jolly Santa's got quite a busy day Saturday, and we'll top it off with the Singing Santa along with Elizabeth Hunstead at Our Wine Bar Saturday evening. You may want to get some reservations for that one. Have brunch with Santa at Granite City from 11 to 1 on Sunday. Last Sunday was a blast being there. Had such a great time. Then Sunday afternoon after the brunch, he and Mrs. Claus headed to the Sunday matinee of Sleeping Inside, being performed by the mighty Corson Arts Players. Enjoy this time, everyone. Remember, I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holly day.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, and Jesse Moffat Entertainment. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHollyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional links section. Click on the orange button, Dave Holly on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holly Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.